and gentlemen, welcome to the regular season is officially over portion of the Dying Alive Quarantine Podcast. We're going to talk about the NHL surprisingly not stumbling its way into a return to play format. Go over some of the matchups. We'll just check in. How are you doing? You know, tough times out there. We're going to make sure you're all good. And we're going to talk a lot about hockey. It's Dying Alive. When it comes to your friends, you know, you always have to do a check-in. And I feel like the people who listen to this show are our friends. So, we'll start with a little, how are you? It's Jesse Marshall from The Athletic at Pittsburgh, joined by my friends and colleagues, Pat Damp from thepensblog.com. Patrick, hello.
Hey, Jesse. How's it going? You doing okay? How's quarantine?
It's fine. It's the same as it ever was. I feel like talking heads. And my sunburnt friend and co-host from pensburg.com, Mike Darnay. How's the lobster life, Michael?
I'm not sunburned anymore. I was.
You were pretty sunburned.
I have a hard time
believing it's completely gone.
It's more tan now. You can see hair for yourself.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. What, did you apply some aloe to that?
Nope, nothing.
Just toughed it out, huh? Yep. Is that a golf-related sunburn?
Yeah, Thursday and Sunday. Sunday mainly.
So a reminder to all you kids that are going back out into the real world, you put that SPF on.
I joked when it first happened that it was like watching the show Recess, where they had the kids who never went outside.
that's a deep cut reference.
Yeah. That's what it felt like, being out in the sun for a full day for the first time in months.
I got some fishing in. It wasn't necessarily successful, but I, too, got a bit of a burn on the face. You know, that UV light will come straight through those clouds. It's funny how that works.
Oh, yeah. I took a walk on the North Shore Nature Trail on Monday.
Which is, by the way, how beautiful is that?
It's,
you know?
Incredible. And, my forehead got burnt up pretty good. So I'm with you guys.
Here's a nugget for you. I'm going to give this little gem out to people that may not know that this exists. Let's say you work anywhere near the 10th Street bypass. Maybe you're in the Strip. Maybe you're on the K&L Gate side of downtown. You got to get down to that Riverwalk. Because they got that waterfall underneath the convention center.
Oh, dude.
It's a game changer, and people don't know that that's down there. But if you're, like, stressed out during the workday and you want to just chill for a minute, that's, like, the best place to go.
Well, and you can very, very quickly be over across the bridge to PNC Park.
I will tell you, though, if your question is whether or not – let's say you're working in the Strip District and you're saying, Jesse, can I get from the Strip to PNC Park and back in an hour because I only have an hour for lunch? You can't.
No.
Can't do it. You'll come close, but you'll fail. Anyway, and the sweat you build up is just not worth it. If you're going on lunch in the summer, just stay in the Strip. Don't walk across the bridge. You're crazy. You're asking to be soaked this afterwards. It's nonsense.
We all know, thanks to – I would say a friend of all of ours, Chris Muller, had the tweet the other day, is that I'm glad we finally reached the time in Pittsburgh seasons where we're now at blast furnace hot.
Yeah. We've skipped over second. Well, we had second winter. Third winter, maybe even, huh? I don't know. And then it rained a lot. It pretty much rained for all of April. So anyway, we're coming out of it. So is hockey. Hockey's coming out of it.
What a transition. You cannot teach that.
I'll tell you who's not rusty. Anyway, coming out of this break, you know, it's hard sometimes to want to give credit to the National Hockey League for doing anything correct. And while they are wasting a large amount of medical resources to test the players and staff who are going to be participating in this tournament, look at what's going on with baseball. My goodness, they're cannibalizing each other over there.
Yeah, what's going on in baseball reminds me of, like, the business landscape across America, where you have companies who have been looking to cut jobs for a long time, who are now taking advantage of an excuse to do so. And I feel like that's happening with baseball, where they've had these labor issues, and they're like, okay, well, we're just going to slide these in and deal with them now.
Yeah. Now, I get for me... We've found ourselves collectively as a community, a sport, a people, and really unprecedented waters for this era. So to me, maybe I'm alone here. I'll get your takes on this. Incessant complaints about the format fall on my deaf ears, because I think we're lucky to even be in this position, and I'm still not 100% convinced we're going to get to a point where a game is going to actually be played. A lot of things have to happen before we get there. There's probably more things that could go wrong than right. You know, having it back should be meaningful to everyone and not something I think we're wasting our time complaining about all day long.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, this is the first of many, many hurdles. I'm generally ambivalent whether they play or not. I'm ambivalent to a lot of things, though.
Yeah, for those of you who may not know, my co-host Michael, my friend Michael, his motto in life is and I quote, "It's no big deal to me."
Yeah, so
he says that quite frequently. You get a lot of texts from him that'll say, "It's no big deal to me."
I mean, I could take that as criticism that I don't
say. I wouldn't say that. I would say I'm actually in what I've been thinking about as I've been talking about this is why haven't Pat and I chipped in together for your birthday or Christmas to get you a shirt that says "It's no big deal to me."
I would wear it.
I know you would. That's why I'm wondering why I haven't done it yet.
Yeah, we should probably get on that.
But, I mean, I could see where people could criticize saying, why don't you pick one way or another to push on things? But it's just my kind of laid-back MO to be ambivalent on things. So if they play, great. I will absolutely watch. But if they don't, whatever.
I mean, it's they did the best that they could in the circumstance, you know what I mean? Like, there was no way you're getting this 100% right. You are never going to please everybody with this.
That's a good point.
And the smartest thing they did, and obviously we'll get into it because we have it, we intend to talk about the format as a whole. The smartest thing they did was the points percentage thing because of everybody not playing the same amount of games.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, that was a really smart approach. So, well, let's just do this first so if nobody's familiar with what we're talking about, we can get them caught up. So top 12 by points percentage make the playoffs in each conference, right?
That is correct. Well,
the top four.
Top four are in the playoffs
in
each conference. They're going to play a three-game round robin to determine the 1-4 seeds.
Now, this is the part that I think is stupid.
The round robin?
I would have done. Yeah, well, not stupid, but let me just say, if I was making a recommendation on what to do differently, I would lock the top in and make the bottom play the round robin to get in overall.
So you would flip it. You would make the top four dormant, and then you'd have the bottom eight play a round robin to get into the playoffs.
Yeah.
I actually don't hate that. I was going to say, on the other hand, I would flip it, but the only difference is I would make the round robin playoff rules because I think that.
What do you mean by that, though, Pat? Like, when you, in terms of,
well, if you read, I believe it was Burnside on The Athletic who wrote the full kind of like breakdown on The Athletic of the format. The round robin is going to be regular season rules. 3 20-minute periods. If you're tied after 60, you go to a 5-minute 3v3 overtime.
Okay,
You have a shootout.
Okay, perfect.
So,
right.
Because
I didn't even read that part specifically. That went right over my head, I guess, when I was reading through this stuff. So that's good that you called that out because I had just assumed that it was,
And the reason I say that is kind of similar to how we saw. Even though it was pretty great, we saw Columbus sweep Tampa last year. A lot of things went into that, but mostly the reason I saw that happen was Tampa Bay did not have to play a meaningful hockey game for 2 months. Like,
that's sort of like partially, Pat, like 93 Penguins stuff too, right? They went on that undefeated streak and
Jesse, not to interrupt you, but that's my only argument against your suggestion of having the top four locked in is they're going to have some time off while the other teams are figuring out their play-in.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you have this top four still play their round robin, they're still locked in, they're going to make the quote-unquote first round of the playoffs and not have to worry about the play-in round. If you have them play playoff rules, it makes it worth a little more. It'll be a little more competitive. It'll be a little bit – and I know everybody's like, oh, parody's stupid, blah, 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 but – I mean, there's a legitimate chance. I don't think it's a very big one, but there's a legitimate chance Montreal could beat the Penguins in the first round. And not, and they are, hands down, without a doubt, the team least deserving to be in the playoffs. So if they suddenly get hot and go on a run and have to play, you know, Boston in the first round, and Boston's been sitting around playing, you know, dilly-dally BS round-robin hockey and catches them sleeping, it's great for ratings and all that. I agree, it'd be fun to watch. But, like, how is that remotely fair to a team that just had to play poo-poo hockey?
Right on. Well, I mean, and here's the thing, too, right? Like, Montreal and Chicago in particular are the money cities, right? Like, let's be honest.
Montreal, Chicago, New York.
Yeah, because the but New York's chances of making the playoffs was significantly, I think, better than Montreal's was. No,
yeah, the Rangers were definitely in the hunt. Montreal was about as out as you can be without officially being out.
Sure. So I'm not even that heated about the Rangers being in. And by the way, we'll get to this later, but that's the series I'm licking my chops, I think, probably the most over, is that Rangers-Hurricane series. That's the one where, like, the people of Carolina, if they lose that series, may, like, burn the PNC Arena down to the ground.
You know, that would be no big deal to me.
But anyway, regardless, the Penguins find themselves in the 5-12 match, so just missing out by points percentage over the Flyers, who I'm looking it up now, were 645 to 623 was the percentage split. So, you know, had the Penguins not crapped one of those games at the end of the year away, you know, really a different story. Specifically the one in Philadelphia, if you guys remember that one, that one where they just got walked out of the building all night long. We're looking here at a return that is likely in August, so we get the opportunity to perhaps watch some hockey on my birthday. It just happens to also be Sidney Crosby's, but it was mine first, so I'm claiming it.
How bad is the ice going to be in some of these buildings if they play?
No worse than it would be in June.
I mean, it really depends too which of the hub cities they're considering they go to.
How humid is it? So let's start there for a minute, okay? That's there's a list of things that surprise me about Pittsburgh being on the list of potential hub cities. The first one is Governor Tom Wolf, and I don't say that as a criticism of him. I just think he's been tough on coronavirus. Whether you like it or not, that's the facts. And I don't see a path to August, like, suddenly we're hosting NHL teams in Cranberry and Neville Island and, you know, all given the circumstances we're in. Beyond that, the ice isn't particularly good at PPG and Paints Arena. So not really the place I'd want to host a series where you're going to have a bunch of teams playing on the same ice surface in a very short period of time, you know, creating a unique set of challenges that NHL ice experts and Daniel Craig's team probably haven't encountered in their professional careers yet. It's different tournament, guys. I think we can all agree with that. You know, it's thing to have, you know, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, if they are looking at Pittsburgh as a hub city, they really should make it Cranberry Township and not Pittsburgh. There's a couple more hotels near the Lemieux complex. It's easier to get to and from. You're clearly not going to have more. You'll have two ice sheets at the Lemieux complex. There's a gym right inside of it. Multiple locker rooms, all very well sized, so it wouldn't be, you know, a bunch of NHL players with all kinds of gear and stuff cramped inside small rooms. Mm-hmm. And that's the biggest thing that I think the NHL is looking for is they want everybody to basically be condensed into the same area with not a lot of travel. So if you're actually going to try to do downtown Pittsburgh, that's going to be a huge problem, because you have one sheet of ice at PPG Paints Arena. The hotels are fairly spread out. There's not going to be a gym or a place where they can all work out except for the arena. So if anything, if you're looking at a hub city for Pittsburgh, you got to go Cranberry and base it all out of the Lemieux complex.
So you think the NHL will shift towards that sort of not shift towards, but the goal will be to isolate everyone in one facility as opposed to maybe using two or three in the same city?
Well, I mean, they're going to choose two hub cities, so you figure they'll have one conference.
Excuse me.
Probably all the Eastern Conference teams in Pittsburgh, and then, you know, sake of argument, let's say they pick Vegas for the West, and that's where every Western team would go.
I'm just kind of surprised that it's going to be limited to two. I thought there'd be more.
Yeah, I'm surprised at that, too, considering that you're having a 2014 playoff, and you're going to have to host 12 teams, which is, you know, probably a roster of 30 and then a coaching staff of 5, 6, 7, maybe 8 or more people. And then who knows how you're going to bring on training staff, if you're going to bring on front office, all of that. So that's a lot of people to host in one area.
I think that they've said 30 personnel, Pat. Am I right there?
I think the roster limit is 30.
Is 30. Yeah. Okay. July 10th is when Elliot Friedman said that training camps would be the earliest that they would open. You know, obviously you've got players getting the ability to train with each other before that. Playoff, the play-in games more specifically, and Rob Robin game stats will count towards the overall playoff totals. So always the possibility here, guys, that we get some kind of bizarro playoff record this year that can never be broken.
Yeah, I also just kind of thought of this while discussing it. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but the scenario has not been presented at all whatsoever. What happens if players test positive?
I don't know.
I don't. As far as I can tell, they have not approached the subject at all.
I mean, you got to figure they shut it down. Like, you just have to.
Yeah, I don't think so, right? I mean,
like, as soon as there's no
Yeah. And that's the difference. Like, I've been keeping a close eye more or less on what NASCAR has been doing, you know, because they're now about a week and a half into their return in a bizarre format where they're basically running every single night. Instead of going to a track once and then leaving and coming back later, they just stay there for a week at a time. The difference being, guys, you know, I think they've done great with their regulations and the way that they've handled everything. But when these guys get into accidents, they don't hit each other.
Yeah.
They're in cars, you know. So if that's the difference for me, is that once you've got one person positive, anyone that they've come in contact on the ice is now in a position where they're at risk, you know. So that's what, to me, makes this so precarious in the first place.
And, I mean, I figure we would get into this later into the episode to kind of talk about possible objections to it, but I agree with you there.
Do you think or agree with the sentiment that people seem to have about this being a asterisk year or less of a championship, or any of those sort of similar criticisms that have been levied?
Personally, I feel like people will wait to see who wins before they decide whether they're going to criticize and give an asterisk or not.
That's an interesting thought.
It's like, okay, so for me, or let's say we're talking about our group, if some team from the West that we don't care about wins, it's not an asterisk year. Yeah. However, a lot of people in Pittsburgh will consider it an asterisk year if the Flyers win the Cup or if the Capitals win the Cup.
Yeah.
I mean, there's going to be a lot of rivalry-based asterisks.
Something like 1972 and a half, yeah. You know, like.
No, this year does not count. It absolutely does not count.
Yeah.
If you had won last year, it would count. If you win next year when it's a full year, it counts. But this year does not count.
Yeah. Well, listen, here, let's do this, and we're going to roll through these matchups now. How about that? Let's take a little run if anyone wants to transcribe our takes here and hold us accountable later in life.
Hold those feet to the fire.
I do have a quick question. I know we're only talking about the play-in round matchups. Do we know if they are going to reseed after the play-in round and after the round robin?
They haven't made a final call.
That was the no.
I don't think they've made a final call on that. I saw conflicting. I saw that they don't know if it's going to be by seed or if it's going to be by bracket.
Shocking. There's conflicted information. Yeah, okay. It's good
we're clear on that. Okay. So,
I mean, but hold on real quick before we get into that. To be fair, and kind of like you said, Jesse, at the start of the episode, it's hard to say the NHL did something right given how so good they are at training their guns on their own feet and just open firing. What they voted on for this format basically was a vote to agree to discuss. Like, they had this kind of skeleton format in place, and then they were like, okay, we got the skeleton down, now let's build around it.
Yeah. Trying to see if there's any formal information here about this. There's not, so.
I mean, either way, I don't think it truly matters if it's seeding or bracket, just because you got to figure, you do a format like this, you're going for drama. You're trying to get eyeballs.
Yeah. So let's roll through some of these matchups. First of all, let's pour one out for the following groups of teams. Ottawa, obviously. Detroit, obviously, Los Angeles, Anaheim, San Jose, New Jersey, and Buffalo. You have not qualified for this tournament.
Can I present a counter argument that we don't pour one out? Because I don't really care about any of them.
Great. Fine.
I would like to pour one out for San Jose, and we'll get into why in a little bit, but it's pretty obvious how badly they have screwed up.
Well, I'll tell you, I want to give a shout out to the there are a lot of really great hockey fans in Buffalo, right? There are a lot. And now they're on the outside looking in with a 6.5% chance to win the lottery. That's purgatory. That's hell. That's
the mushy middle.
It's being in limbo with a group from ownership on down that you can't be feeling all that positive about. And Jack Eichel, credit to him for, piping up about it again. He's making his displeasure well known, and good for him.
What did you see? Botterill's comment.
I did not. What was it?
He basically said, like, oh yeah, we still see Ristolainen as a core player.
Oh, it's interesting.
I don't know, man.
That's one of those situations where, like, your friend pulls you aside and says, I think your eye doctor is a quack. by the way, obviously Detroit has the greatest odds out of that group to win the lottery at 18.5%. But given that they've extended Jeff Blaisdell's contract next year, who's really the winner here? So moving on, we have
Does it really matter though? Just like where they are as a franchise?
I think it does, Pat. I think it does. I mean, if you have a coach that hasn't given really a whole lot of people with fairly keen eyes hope that you can improve young players in a critical time during their development, that's a problem. Less about wins and losses for me and more about player development. And I don't know that he's really instilled the kind of confidence you would want in that department in particular.
Yeah, that's fair.
That was the thing, not to go off, the thing I liked about Mkhitaryan even when he was losing. Even when the Penguins were still losing with Michel Therrien at the beginning of his tenure, not when he got fired, but at the front end, the infamous press conference, you just felt like he was good for that group. Even if it wasn't working at that specific period of time, you felt okay about it. Like, you probably wouldn't have felt that way with Edzo. Shout out to Edzo, we love him. As a coach, like, it was pretty ugly, and it was obvious that he was in over his head. Kind of get like the same feeling about Jeff Blaisdell in the NHL.
That's fair. I mean, the reason I said that mainly is like they're really only starting to rebuild a young core. So like at this point, like, I mean, operating under the assumption they win the draft lottery, get the first overall pick, get Alexis Lafreniere, and then the rebuild is on, then it's definitely time to look at the coaching and development. But right now it's like, screw it, you're trying to be terrible. You're trying to rip this all down. So even if the coach sucks, who cares?
Well, in that sense, though, too, Pat, like, mission accomplished then, right? Like, if you got your 18.5% lottery chance this year and, you know, you got your tank, you know, no need to bring him back. You already got what you're looking for. I know you wanted to not pick on San Jose. Well, maybe pick on San. I don't know. I don't want to steal your thunder. Tell us about the Sharks.
So, as Jesse said, Detroit comes in with the best odds to win the draft lottery at 18.5%. In second place is the Ottawa Senators at 13.5%. In third place is also the Ottawa Senators at 11.5%. Now, you may be asking yourself, fair listener, how is Ottawa on the list twice if
San Jose didn't qualify?
Well, it was a trade, and that's a pick from San Jose who did not qualify. So despite being one of only a handful of teams not in this crazy playoff format, San Jose doesn't have a shot to get the first overall pick.
Yeah. I was having a conversation earlier today with the guys on TSN in Winnipeg about teams that have, like, really screwed up their rebuilds, have taken forever. And, like, the obvious answer is Edmonton, right? Like, that's the one that you go straight to. But I'll tell you what, guys. Looking back, like, on what Ottawa did in the last draft and how they, I think, wrongly swung for the fences and missed with some of their heavy weighted picks, they're getting close and dangerously close to entering that same territory. And if they walk away with you know, a suite of top three round picks and they kind of poop on them again, I mean, don't get the impression that, like, if they draft Alexis Lafreniere, like, they're going to really make a good of the situation. Like, you don't get the impression that, like, oh, yeah, they're going to get Lafreniere and it'll all turn around. I think it's more likely, and I said this on Twitter, that they step to the podium at the draft and accidentally take Alex Lafreniere, who in his own right is, you know, a good player, but, you know, 86 to 93 range, you know, not first overall. So anyway,
I mean, and the thing that sucks for San Jose is so much of it was just bad luck and just really only two albatross contracts that sunk that team.
Oh yeah, yeah. New Jersey is another interesting one too, because I don't think Jack Hughes is very good.
I don't think he's as good as he was billed to be.
Yeah, I would agree with that, Pat. Then I also, like, I think that maybe there was more harm done than good in keeping him up all year long, too. Like, it's one of those situations where when something's so bad, you know what I mean? Like, I never had any self-confidence about hockey, but, like, when it was low, you play worse. You know, you develop some crap habits. And, yeah, I just don't know about that environment this year, but it was one of those things that was like, you know, he's a AAA player in the sense that did he have anything to learn anywhere else, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe not, but physically speaking, maybe he had just needed to – there was time there he needed to grow.
And overall, though, I mean, having Hughes and Heischer is not the worst place to be.
No, but what – I mean, I guess that's another – Nico Heischer is another one, right? Like, is he good?
I would want to see him on a good team. Like, I want to see where New Jersey goes from here. Like,
so I think it's a problem right there, Pat.
Yeah, that's their biggest issue. Yeah. Is now that I think of it, do they have a GM right now? They don't, right?
I don't think I'm in the camp of people that think Nico Heischer is bad. I just think there's, like, a very clear plateauing that's occurred for him. That's probably, like you said, symptomatic of his environment more than anything else.
Right. So. I think, and like I asked you, I don't know if anybody here knows, do they have a GM right now? Because they fired Shiro, right?
Yeah, I don't know if, I honestly have to look it up. I have no freaking clue. I haven't been paying a damn bit of attention to that. So,
Because that really can give us a sense of where they're heading as a franchise. Like, especially now, because we don't really know when the draft is going to be. I mean, it really won't be until after the At the very least,
it's not going to be until after the playoffs over. So,
but at the same time,
it's going to be the check's going to be out on that for a while.
But at the same time, we'll have an idea of what the order is after the play-in round, because all the teams will fill in, and then it'll go from the playoff results. But I mean, that's really the way we can tell where New Jersey is going to go. Who are they going to hire to run their front office?
So, So to sink into some of these matchups, Toronto probably wouldn't have qualified, neither would Columbus. Here we have the 8-9 matchup. I don't know. I say that about Toronto. They probably could have gotten in.
No, I think I think Toronto was holding down a pretty solid third in the Atlantic.
So do we want to do a – I guess we do who we like here. I don't know. This is a tough one because Columbus
– 8-9 is tough.
It is. And like, credit to – you know – credit to John Perella, like, that team got brutalized this year. Not in a Penguins way, but he had that team without a lot of its returning star talent playing some pretty decent hockey.
Yeah, I mean, like down the stretch, they weren't bad. Like, they were playing pretty well, even with all the injuries and lost star power. And now all of a sudden, everybody's coming back. Like,
yeah,
and
that's the big thing, yeah.
But you also have to throw a lot of stuff out because nobody's played hockey in 3 months.
No, for sure. You figure if they add a couple guys who are relatively talented, mainly Seth Jones, back into their lineup, like, that's a team that, you know, they take Hockey Mecca out in the play-in round, and we're going to get some takes, boys.
Oh, big takes, yeah, big takes. I do think that these are two teams that, from a personnel perspective, will feel very positive about their head coaches going into this round.
I'm not sold on Sheldon Keefe yet.
Well, I don't know that I am either, Pat, but if you lived under Mike Babcock for the first 2.5 months of the season, you'll take, like, Iron Mike Keenan over that, you know. I think it was pretty clear that the people and the players in Toronto were over Mike Babcock.
Oh yeah, they had him tuned out.
So it's one of those Dan Bylsma things where, regardless of how good of a coach he might be, he's letting them play the little bit like they want to for the first time, and you can't discount the lick of the chops approach to that. You know, those guys don't want to play defense first, and they shouldn't want to, because the team makeup's not built for that. That doesn't even make any sense.
Yeah, I will probably go Toronto.
Well, they're the more talented team.
And it's a 5-game series.
Less margin for error.
Yeah, and 5 games give me the Austin Matthews Leafs. I can't pick against them.
You know what, too, Pat? Maybe not being on Toronto is going to help.
Yeah, having the noise blocked out, you don't have to deal with. You don't have
a narrative there.
Yeah, you don't have to deal with a fan base that's going to be on top of every little mistake and on pins and needles with every single thing that goes right or wrong.
Yeah. Just go down the line here, New York Islanders, the 7 seed coming in against the 10 seed Florida Panthers.
I go
Florida, just unremarkable to me, man.
I would, in a 5-game series. I lean Barry Trotz. Not even I don't even lean Islanders as much as I lean Barry Trotz.
I'm with Mike. I can't see Florida winning this series.
See, I can. We forget, because he was garbage this season, Bobrovsky swept the Lightning last year. The historic Tampa Bay Lightning.
It's hard to know.
And not to mention, you have Quenneville as your coach. A lot of your core is pretty young. Like, they could fuck around and make this happen.
The reason I don't pick them is I don't think they know how to win yet.
But I think that's actually a benefit in some cases. Like, I mentioned that, Mike, as a benefit to New York. Like, I think that benefits the Rangers against the Hurricanes, is that they're just too stupid to know any better. You know what I mean?
Well, I think that applies to everybody, too, like, because this isn't a normal play. If it happens, it's not a normal playoff.
Oh, no, you're right. Yeah, 100%. I just, you know, the Island – I know for a fact, based on what happened last year, that the Islanders can win star power.
Right? Oh, absolutely. But I don't think there's a whole lot of star power to be had in this series in general.
No, that's what I'm saying. So my point is, I know the Islanders can maximize what the limit, the little that they might have on their roster, but I don't know that Florida can do that. Like, I mean, even like Frank Fetrano, Alexander Barkov, and Evgeny Dadonov is your top line. Like, that doesn't, I don't know. What's that? I guess the difference for me is I know what the Islanders' identity is, and I don't think the Panthers have one.
Probably not, but like I said, like I could just in my gut I can see them making some noise.
I'll be honest with you, I don't know if there's a matchup in here that I can't see going the opposite direction of the favorite. Like, I could see Carey Price shutting the Penguins out 3 games in a row. Like, you know, that it's goaltending, right? That's what happens. And I just don't know that there's, in the East in particular, I don't know that there's the Penguins are probably the closest thing you have to a runaway.
Yeah,
which brings us to my sleeper matchup, which is the 11 seed New York Rangers and the 6 seed Carolina Hurricanes. Carolina is a better hockey team, I think, but this is going to be a unique experience, and this Rangers team, I think, plays an annoying brand of hockey. Despite its grotesque deficiencies elsewhere.
Well, and to what you kind of alluded to about the Penguins series, if you're allowed to carry 3 goalies in this weird playoff, who has 3 better goalies than the Rangers right now?
Well, I think you're allowed to carry as many as you want, Pat, right? Isn't it unlimited? You can carry up to 9, I think. Isn't it 9?
Maybe, but either way, the trio of goaltenders that the Rangers are carrying right now,
yeah. I'm waiting for that team that rolls out. They have a goalie, and then their third defensive pairing is 2 goalies. Potentially a 4th line of goalies.
So you're
going 6 goalies on the ice at once.
So you're going with the Air Bud defense of like, well, yeah, exactly. it's not specifically in the rules that a dog can't play.
Yeah. Although, I mean, yeah, if this in this situation, though, it may be in the rules that you can have 9 goalies. And all I'm saying is you put 6 of them in front of the net. Clear eyes can't lose, you know? I mean, that's pretty clear path to victory for me. Call the Moose. What's the Moose doing? Find out. Get him down here.
What's all Ban up to these days?
I'm going to get my foam antlers out. I don't know. Any real comments about Carolina? Oh, wait, no. You were talking about the goalies, Pat. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that was the whole point. If there's in a stupid playoff like this, if there's one position you want to be really good at, it's goalie.
Plus, there's players in that Rangers team that have been around the block and done the playoff thing before.
So, a little guy named Artemi Panarin. Ever heard of him?
Yeah, never heard of him. First time for me. First time for me hearing him.
I mean, I'm with you on that. As far as the East series go, I will be as glued to my television as possible as I possibly can be to watch that every single game of that one.
You mean to tell me you are not going to be invested in the slugfest that is going to be Edmonton, Chicago, or the downright barn burner of Vancouver, Minnesota?
You know what? Sneakily, Vancouver, Minnesota also could be pretty good.
Actually, you know, I'm really looking forward to in the West is Calgary, Winnipeg.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be a good one. I think Calgary trying to break down Connor Hellebuck will be fun. And Nashville, Arizona. I think that'll be surprisingly good as well. I'm happy that Arizona's in. I'm glad they got in, and I'm hoping they
plus we shock get the world. In the West we get playoff Mike Smith.
True, playoff Mike Smith is back. Who comes out? How about this? Once that round robin is over at the top, rank the finishing order for the East.
East is going to go Tampa, Boston, Philly, Washington.
Wow, Pat Damp coming in with the Caps in last place.
I think it ends in the order that it starts.
Boston, Tampa, Washington, Philly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going in a different route here, gentlemen. I'm going to go Tampa, Boston, Washington, Philly. So I'm similar to Pat, just switching the last two up.
I mean, it pains me as a Penguins fan to say it, but Philly's good, man. They're a good hockey team.
They were good. We don't know if they're still going to be good.
I'm going even strictly on paper. They're still a good hockey team.
I mean, my concern, not just with Philly, is that teams who were hot or good might not be hot or good anymore, and teams who were bad might figure it out.
I kind of agree, and it was like kind of to the point I was making with Vancouver, Minnesota, briefly. Like, I did kind of base that off of Minnesota playing well down the stretch, but I think of teams that played well down the stretch, they were one that just kind of went ass backwards into playing well down the stretch. So I think they're one of the ones that, okay, so they played pretty well before the season got shut down. That's not going to matter. They were getting extremely lucky. And Edmonton-Chicago is going to be a fucking travesty.
What did you say?
I said an Edmonton-Chicago is going to be a fucking travesty.
Yeah. The play-in, the round robin for the West, St. Louis, Colorado, Vegas, and Dallas. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go first here, and I'm going to put the Avalanche first out of this. I think the Avs walk out first. I think St. Louis will come out second. I think Dallas will come out third, and Vegas will be at the bottom of the barrel.
I'm going similar to you, but I'm going Colorado, Vegas, St. Louis, Dallas.
Okay, so I just realized something that I feel like the NHL is going to screw up. So if we go the round-robin format in the World Cup, on the third match day, they make both play at the same time so that they don't know the result of the other.
Right.
Yeah. I feel like they're not going to do that.
You might be right.
Especially if we only have one city. So let's say St. Louis and Vegas are playing and Colorado and Dallas are playing. One of those teams is probably going to know what they need to do in the match and be able to play accordingly.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Well, we're going to have an ad nauseum time to dissect the Penguins-Canadian series. So let's go to the people, Michael.
Let's see here. Zach T says, you're at a cookout serving burgers and hot dogs. If supply isn't an issue, how many of each could you eat? And he assumes that Pat tries to eat one hot dog really fast, but fails.
I mean,
did he say one sitting?
He did not.
I mean, like, if I just go to your house and you're having a cookout and you're cooking burgers and dogs, I'm going to have a burger and I'm going to have a dog. That's pretty much what I'm planning to do. Like, but get a burger...
How many of each could you eat?
Because, I mean, if we're talking...
I could eat three dogs and probably two burgers. I don't have, like, an ability to gorge myself on food. I gloat about, like, oh, I could eat, like, 62 wings. No, I could eat, like, 13. That's it. Like, I'm a normal human being. Like, I don't have a go-go gadget stomach like some people do. And if you do, cool. That's cool. But just I'm not interested in like, competitive... eating.
Well, and if we're talking like throughout the course of a whole day, like definitely down quite a few. One sitting though, you guys have seen the photo and video evidence. I cannot do it.
Oh, you can't. Yeah.
And that's okay. Whoops, sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. I was just. That's okay.
Pete Turkus says, based on Twitter, I find that Jesse is the brains, Pat is the heart, and Mike seems like a pretty good cook. Is this assessment accurate?
Mike, would that make you the stomach?
I guess.
Mike's definitely the stomach of the podcast. No question about it.
Let's see what else we got here. Brad asks, I recommend pitching Mike on a movie. Oh, I recommended... past tense, pitching Mike on a movie before. One, I recommend doing the segment again. Two, has he watched The Sandlot yet? I have not.
What the fuck, man?
I haven't had time.
Well, no, you haven't had time. In these unprecedented times, you haven't had time?
Nope. just haven't. Just been busy.
Are there any movies you have watched lately?
I started watching Uncut Gems on Netflix 2 nights ago, but I fell asleep.
How? No, I haven't even seen that yet.
Because I'd like to sleep. This has been documented.
But that movie is a 2-hour panic attack. How did you sleep?
I could sleep through a hurricane.
Clearly.
I have zero problem sleeping. Barely ever.
What else you got?
Because
I'm not recommending you another movie till you watch goddamn Sandlot.
I watched Caddyshack last week.
That's good.
For the first time?
Yeah.
Oh my lord, Michael.
BocoFan14 asks, where do you want Jake Gensel to play when he comes back? Do you think Sullivan should put him with Gino to keep the Zucker and Sid pair the same, or put Jake and Sid right back together as we know how good they are in key moments?
When you die on your deathbed, you will receive total consciousness. So I got that going for me. It's my favorite part of Caddyshack. So here's the thing. Jake Gensel will play with Sidney Crosby, which kind of makes the whole debate silly, because that's what's going to happen. Is Jake Gensel's going to play with Sidney Crosby? I don't see any way that doesn't take place. So the question is, like, well, what else happens now? Like, do you move Jason Zucker to his off wing, or do you put Patrick Hornquist up there with Jake Gensel and Sidney Crosby? Probably not. So I think you might get Gensel, Crosby, Sherry will probably be your top line.
Well, I tell you what, they got a lot of time to figure it out.
Yeah, plenty of time.
Sure do. I you know me, I'm all for Gensel, Rust, and Malkin back.
And just do what. And by no means should we Jerome Iginla Jason Zucker.
Devin asks, what is the weirdest / most random quarantine purchase you've made or almost made?
I bought a pair of leg glasses.
I have a pair, I swear by them.
I'm not convinced they work.
I mean, I swear by them because I sleep well, but I might just sleep really well, so I can't. It's like the scale. I can't decide.
I bought an acoustic guitar.
Oh.
Some jams. My most random, I bought a ravioli cutter so I could make ravioli. Nice.
That is random, but it seems worth whatever you paid.
Yeah, it was like $6 on Amazon.
I mean, most random, I don't know if I'd call it random, I bought a new desk chair because my old one was beat to shit.
Morgan asks, Natter Days, yay or nay? And it better be yay.
Yeah, that's a big yay for me.
Yep. I've also been looking, I haven't tried them yet because I'm trying to find it in a six pack, but the new Keystone Light, it's like a raspberry something or other.
I've never had a Natter Day.
I'm intrigued enough by the Keystone Light raspberry.
Jesse, I hate that Natty Light got a redemption story last summer, but boy, did they ever.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out.
And last question, it's a double-fold question from Matt Schaefer. One, who should Mike Sullivan start in net if the 2014 playoffs happen?
He's going to start Matt Murray.
Matt Murray will be the starting goalie for the Packers.
So is your answer who should start or who is going to start?
Both.
And Matt also asks, what is your favorite purchase you've made while quarantined? Not most random, but favorite.
I bought a PlayStation.
I bought a beard trimmer.
I bought a Pirates hat that's like, it's got the old like red and black kind of logo with the...
I like that.
Yeah, so that's been my favorite. Or I also got the... I'm actually wearing it now. I got the Steel City Mr. Rogers t-shirt, the Look for the Helpers t-shirt.
That's all I got.
Well, gentlemen, we'll have some hockey to discuss when we come back.
Maybe.
Yeah, well, hopefully, yeah. shout out, man, to this is from me personally. Shout out to the family of George Floyd.
With you on that.
Prayers to them, and yeah, absolutely, and thinking of them, and encouraging our friends to call it out where you see it.
Yeah, we're no longer in a time where ignoring it because it makes you feel uncomfortable is acceptable anymore. If you see it, call it out.
Yeah, and our DMs are open, so you can always come talk to us as well. Michael will inundate you with recipes for various exotic foods. And you know who doesn't want that? So we'll be back soon. It's nice to be hearing from everybody. Thanks for asking for episodes, and we'll be in touch with y'all shortly.
See ya.